morning.
Good morning, gang. How are you? Yes, many things have happened, Em, since we met the other morning. Hello, folks. This is WEAF. It's morning in Manhattan. Yes, everything else is transcribed and recorded. And the time right now is just 5 minutes and 45 seconds past 7 o'clock, that's Eastern Wartime. And you know, folks, we're going to try to keep our visit with you on morning in Manhattan in the spirit and tempo of you and your home. For few are the homes that are untouched by the great drama of D-Day. None of us are free from the anxiety of this moment. Yet we all must carry on. We must do our job. You in the home, in the factory, in the fields. For if ever they needed us, it is now. And we must not fail them by wearing a long face and wringing our hands and pointing fingers. We must aid them by keeping up production, by buying bonds, by prayers. And the time right now is 7 minutes and 45 seconds past 7 o'clock, Eastern Wartime. The temperature this afternoon expected up to about, 78. Right now it is 62, they tell me. Is that right, O'Brien?
That's correct, Uncle Henry.
What's that, Paul?
Button.
No, 71. Ken, what are you waving for? Oh, no, it's just one of those things. All right, well, they're talking to me, folks. Here's a little transcription from a very fine organization. Just 59 seconds.
Here is part of an actual letter received by the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint, Double Mint, and Juicy Fruit Chewing Gum.
The flying officers here, somewhere in England, find it practically impossible to obtain good American chewing gum. They've asked me to write to you on our behalf. We know how scarce gum is, but we can guarantee to chew it over Berlin for you. Money means little here in combat, but chewing gum is really appreciated. If you could send us a carton of 20 packs twice a month, we'd know the folks back home haven't forgotten us. If that's too much, anything you could spare would help.
That should explain why all Wrigley's Spearmint, Double Mint, and Juicy Fruit is now being shipped overseas to our armed forces. Our supply of good available raw materials is limited. We can only make enough quality chewing gum to help out the men doing the actual fighting. When we can again bring back these fine brands in sufficient quantity for all, they will be back on the counter of your friendly local merchant.
Did you recognize that melody? No, it's 10 minutes down, 45 seconds. We're on the 45-second business this morning. I'm going to wait until the clock gets away. Exactly 11 minutes past 7 o'clock, and the young man, the engineer of sound, will ring a bell. That'll indicate that you may set your watches on the snozzle at 11 minutes past 7 o'clock. 11 minutes? That was a delicate bell. Thank you, Mr. Lane. That was very lovely. Oh, goodness me. I gave the temperature, didn't I? 65. That was it. And new, this afternoon, up to about 78. Have I played you a nice transcription telling you all about that grand magazine we have in America founded by one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence? I haven't. I'm neglecting you.
Keep posted. Read the new Saturday Evening Post. Just a few weeks ago, one of America's most popular writers, Frederick Faust, was killed in action on the Italian front. And this week's Post brings you the first installment of his last and perhaps his greatest work, a strangely thrilling war story titled After April.
There she was in that room in Paris, the woman who looked exactly like my wife. My wife, whom I thought the Nazis had killed when they bombed my native Rotterdam. As someone introduced me to her by another name, she looked at me as if she had never seen me in her life before and said,
"How do you do, Monsieur Gerard?"
Was this woman the wife Peter Gerard had loved? And if so, why did she pretend never to have seen him before? What about the lovely young English girl who lost her heart to Peter after he saved her brother's life? Start this weird, spine-tingling romance of war and the RAF. Frederick Faust, After April, with the first deeply intriguing installment in the new Saturday Evening Post.
That mark was out in triumph, float and liberty attend its mighty hand. A flag appears in sunken fields, a banner of the western land. The emblem of the brave and true is bold to protect no time. And through the red and white and starry blue is freedom, shield and hope. Other nations redeem their flags of best and fear them with fervent elation. But the flag of the north and south and west is the flag of life, the flag of freedom's nation. Hurrah for the flag of the free. May it wave as our standard forever, the gem of the land and the sea. The banner of the Rhine. Let the tyrants remember the day when our fathers with mighty endeavor proclaimed as they marched to the fray that by their might and by their right is waved forever.
Job, don't they? That was wearing. The Stars and Stripes Forever, John Philip Sousa's Greatest March. You know, there's a lot to that. Stars and Stripes Forever. You must hold me high. You must keep me great. And those young fellas are doing a grand job, aren't they? Holding high, keeping great. Yes, Jeannie? Aunt Piccolo, I didn't I speak to you? You came in this morning. I don't know. I just thought it was nice to start the other way instead of the... Well, you understand, don't you, Moynihan? You helped me arrange the program. Oh, yeah, you agree with that. Maybe tomorrow, see? The tempo will be a little different tomorrow. Yes, Piccolo? Yes, it is necessary. Sure, we carry on just as ever. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Piccolo has this thought for me to give to you regarding, you know, these days when the sun is warm and folks go without hats and they go out there and the hair is so important to your well-being. And it should be dressed accordingly. Yeah, just like you, your hair should be. So Piccolo has a story about a Brill cream. But in addition to that, just to show you that everything is, well, the way you'd want it, you receive a very interesting book by Arthur Murray,
Oh.
You haven't heard about it?
Oh, well, I'll have the man. Piccolo, have your man step upon the rostrum and tell us all about it, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's an amazing free offer. Listen, get Arthur Murray's famous 100-page, $1.25 dance book showing you the correct way to do the rumba, tango, waltz, jitterbug, and so forth free with the purchase of a giant package of Brill Cream, the sensational new hair grooming discovery.
What's Brill Cream? Well, Brill Cream is a new emollient cream that makes your hair look better instantly. Yes, friends, makes it look richer, healthier, more lustrous, and really well-groomed.
And that's not all. With massage, Brill Cream actually helps overcome dryness, removes loose dandruff, and helps check excessive falling hair.
So, friends, today, get your hair looking lustrous, healthy, attractive. Buy a giant tube or bottle of B-R-Y-L-C-R-E-E-M, Brill Cream, for 49 cents. Remember, buy today at druggist or toiletries counters and get amazing free Arthur Murray dance book.
Uh-oh, there it is, 17 after, in time for the All-American Quiz with Uncle Henry himself.
Hiya, pupils!
Morning, Professor.
Hiya, Barnsey.
Why, good morning.
Hey, Barnsey.
Yes? You look serious.
Yeah, well, I am a little serious. Would you just call the roll? I want to speak to the class this morning.
Are you serious?
Yeah, just eliminate that usual patter of yours.
All right. O'Brien?
Here.
Lane?
Yeah.
Payne?
Here.
Knight?
Here.
King?
Here.
Barnes?
Here. Yeah, thank you. You know, class, just have your attention a moment. For the past year, we've conducted the All-American Quiz with the thought that many of the questions would bring back, refresh our minds with the drama written on the pages of American history by the men who gave us America with all its freedom. It didn't just happen, you know. Oh, no, all this freedom. They fought and they bled and died, these men on our history pages. That is why we must never, never, never forget them. Oh, of course, there's some who say, why bring up past history? Well, one day it was current news, like the American boys taking part in this D-Day. Do we ever, ever want those who are yet unborn to say when someone years hence, like us right now, should ask a question on history, say, of D-Day 1944, the day of liberation for thousands who were held on the tyrannical heel of the Hun, to say, well, why bring up past history? Why bring it up? The cost is too great in heartbreaks. Too many worlds have been shattered. Too many plans have been dashed to smithereens for anyone ever to forget the sacrifice they're making this day. So sing loud their praises. And when complete victory is ours, don't stop singing their praises. For it's only in constant vigilance that peace will reign over this glorious land of the free, America. Vigilance.
We must be vigilant, we must be vigilant, Americans at home. With arms for the army, ships for the navy, let it be our goal. We must be diligent, we must be diligent, Americans at home. Protect our shoreline to the shoreline of every nation's soul. We need this solidarity, or else we fight a new war. It means the popularity of peace and happiness for all.
Behind this cause, we must keep rallying.
Let there be no dilly-dallying.
Keep us free from silly-sallying.
March to freedom's call. We need the army there. We must go play from there. We need the army there.
Oh, keep us ever brave and strong. That
We must be diligent, we must be diligent in every sense of control. Protect our shoreline to the shoreline of every nation's soul. We need this solidarity or else we plan to fall. We need the popularity of peace and peace for all.
Behind this cause we must keep rallying.
Let there be no dilly-dallying.
Keep us free from silly-selling.
And we'll reach our goal.
Yes, we must be vigilant. It's 22 minutes past 7 o'clock. There goes the telephone. That's a reminder of me to remind you regarding that great instrument, the telephone. And here's a little quiz on that. See if you can score 100. You ready? What would be the first thing you would do if you were in the Army 1,000 miles from home and knew that you'd be sent overseas any day? Well, the answer's pretty obvious. You would try to make a long-distance call. Call home as soon as possible. And there are thousands of servicemen who, for the same reason, would like to do the same thing. They want to talk to the folks back home. Usually, the only chance they have to put through their calls is during the evening when they're off duty. Many of them have only one last chance to tell the folks goodbye. So, naturally, long-distance wires can... Well, they're pretty well crowded in the evenings, as you know. And that's why your telephone company asked you to save 7 to 10 p.m. for the servicemen. Your cooperation has already speeded many a soldier, sailor, and marine's call through. Just remember, save 7 to 10 for the servicemen and the servicewomen, too.
It will shine near.
Yes, America the beautiful. The time right now, folks, is just 27 minutes past 7 o'clock. That's Eastern Wartime. You know, these are days, they are trying days. These are days of prayer, meditation. At the same time, there are days when you must relax. You must break the tension. But how? To read sometimes is a chore. Well, may I tell you of a motion picture that's playing New York right now? Well, MGM produced it. It's called The White Cliffs of Dover. It's from the poem, you know, by Alice Miller's beautiful poem, The White Cliffs. Well, The White Cliffs of Dover is directed by Clarence Brown, starring Irene Dunne with Alan Marshall and Rodney McDowell and Frank Morgan and Van Johnson, a grand supporting cast. It tells the story of an American girl who goes to England and there meets the man with whom she falls in love. Here is the picture, folks. It's full of romance and tender, heart-filling warmth. You'll love each grand moment of it. You won't want to miss this story of a love so real that will last in your memory for many, many months to come. So we suggest, for a slight respite these days, now to see Irene Dunne in The White Cliffs of Dover, now playing at Radio City Music Hall. It really is delightful. Well, you just have time now for our toast, lads and lassies. We usually have our toast around 4:15. Now, our toast this morning was written by Ethel Roaming Fuller. You've heard it before, but somehow it's the one toast that fits in this day. You know, yesterday as I walked up Fifth Avenue, with the most of its stores closed in observance of D-Day, and walking from 48th Street to 55th, seven short blocks, four of New York City's most famous churches stand. At 48th, St. Nicholas, St. Patrick's at 50th, St. Thomas at 53rd, and Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church at 55th. All were crowded with folks praying. And here's our prayer for this day. Does God hear prayer? You'll hear many skeptics ask. Well, if radio's slim fingers can pluck a melody from night and toss it over a continent or sea, if the petal-white notes of a violin are blown across the mountains or the city's din, if songs like crimson roses are culled from thin blue air, why should mortals wonder if God hears prayer?
Morning in Manhattan, with portions recorded and transcribed, comes to you each weekday morning at 7:05 from our Radio City studios. This is the National Broadcasting Company.